From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this remarkable program we call Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, the ancient giants who ruled America. A fascinating story. Here's what's happening. Well, now let's imagine you are driving at night and you go right past a police officer on the side of the road. So kind of to be a good Samaritan, you use your headlights and flash the oncoming car to kind of let them know, hey, there's a cop back there. Be careful. Well, this happened in Ellisville, Missouri, and a guy got a ticket for that. The American Civil Liberties Union is now hoping that a federal judge's ruling that has temporarily barred Ellisville, Missouri, from punishing drivers for using their headlights to warn others of speed traps will itself serve as a warning to other cities who try to do the same. The ACLU legal director said that it's the first federal court ruling on the issue anywhere in the country. It is illegal in Missouri to communicate in this manner, he said, and detaining, ticketing, or arresting someone for the content of their speech is illegal. The ACLU sued on behalf of Eli and other drivers last year. He's the driver, Michael Eli, saying that the drivers using their headlights to communicate about a speed trap or other reason to proceed with caution are protected by the First Amendment. U.S. shares falling sharply, with investors worried by weak U.S. factory data and continuing worries about slower growth in emerging economies there. The Dow dropping over 300 points. And U.S. Treasury Secretary Jack Lew has warned that the U.S. may default on its debt by the end of the month if Congress does not raise its borrowing limit again. Mr. Lew said now was not the time to cut the U.S. government's budget dramatically. Now, I want to get the perspective from Howard Bloom, because, Howard, here's the question to you. Why can't they ever get this settled? It seems like every 6 months, they got to do something and threaten that we're going to default and this is going to happen. Why can't they get their act together?
Well, either they should not have a debt ceiling at all, or they should reconsider it every 2 years or so, not every 2 months, not every 6 months, because Lou is exactly right. If we defaulted on our debt, it would collapse the world economy. And we'd have a 10-year depression like the one we had in 1872 to the 1890s, and the one we had from 1929 to 1939. There's something disturbing about the current debt situation. It's quite disturbing. The fact is that we only make $16.6 trillion a year. That's our gross domestic product. But our debt is at $17.30 trillion, more than our gross domestic product. However, we've been in that situation once before. In 1945, we were even further beyond our gross domestic product. And guess what happened in 1946 to 1960? We had one of the biggest periods of expansion in American history. So it's not time to panic, but Congress has the right to decrease the amount of national debt by simply not squandering money. And what do I mean by squandering money? There's a farm bill that just went through. It takes money away from food stamps. Now, food stamps, people spend that money instantly. It goes into circulation. But it gives money to multi-million dollar farmers, basically corporate welfare. And we're told that our corporations are the most overtaxed in America, but or in the world. But Medtronics is making a 20.5% profit. That's amazing. Burger King, on its the restaurants it owns itself, is making a 15% profit. That's astonishing. And the fact is that major corporations right now have huge amounts of money in their vaults, and they're not investing it. Why aren't they investing it? Because corporations are hidebound. They have no imagination. They can't imagine what the next great product is going to be that's going to make people salivate.
And they're hoarding cash.
They're hoarding the cash. So they don't need more cash. In fact, we need to tax ourselves a little bit more. We've been too lenient in taxing ourselves for the last 30 years, ever since Ronald Reagan took office.
We're going to keep following this story, Howard. Thank you so much. And again, they're just squabbling again about the U.S. debt and whether we're going to default on the debt by the end of the month. We'll keep our eyes on it for you. Sugar not only makes you heavy, it may be killing you. Consuming too much added sugar in regular soda, cakes, cookies, candy increases your risk of death from heart disease, according to a new study. On average, the adults in the USA, for example, back in 2010, consumed about 15% of their daily calories. That's about 300 calories a day based on a 2,000-calorie diet from added sugars. That's far more than the American Heart Association's recommendation that, for example, women consume no more than 100 calories a day from added sugars, or about 6 teaspoons of sugar, and men consume no more than 9 teaspoons of sugar a day. Be careful. Solar activity has reached high levels with 7 M-class solar flares and 3 coronal mass ejections, as Mitch Batchelor said on our program last night. Most of all the explosions produced by monster sunspot AR-1967 faced right at us. America preparing to land a robot on the moon for the first time in 4 decades? Let's all cheer about that. NASA is looking for private partners now to participate in the project that will see a new generation of rovers wandering around the moon's surface. The American Space Agency has set up a program called Catalyst to exploit commercial opportunities offered by the moon. And what else is going on in space? Let's check in with none other than Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. What's up there, Stephen?
Well, hello, George. Always exciting things to talk about from astronomy, space, aviation, and weather. But let's go back to what you were commenting before on this active region, 1967. Those of you that have those funky-looking little eclipse glasses, you can actually go out if your skies are clear, and you'll see this sunspot group, do it safely, the size of the planet Jupiter.
It's huge.
It's amazing, George. And it's actually the repeat of last month's big solar storm and big sunspot group, AR-1944. So it's continuing around the sun. But, George, other explosions, briefly in the time that we have, a major supernova in a galaxy we call M82, the Cigar Galaxy, visible with observers with small telescopes, reaching its peak. It's about 10th magnitude. It's just above the pointer stars in the Big Dipper, 12 million light years away, George, one of the brightest supernova that we've seen. And closer to home, George, about the bet that you and I had with Comet Ison, agreeing, of course, and glad to do this with your okay. We've sent, of course, an astronomy software package called the SkyX to the great group called the Riverside STEM Academy.
They've already called and thanked me for what you did today, Stephen.
And they're going to love it, George, because you know how great that STEM education is, getting kids to learn all about science. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, I'm so happy to be part of the show and also being able to do that. But I wanted to mention very briefly, the Dr. Sky brand, of course, is astronomy, space, aviation, and weather, drsky.com. But a new website, George, that we want to promote is our aviation site for all the aviation fans out there.
Oh, cool.
Photorecon.net. This is my brother Joe and Dave Budd. Two great photographers. So, George, always great interviews there from great people in aviation to support all of our military. And I think the listeners of Coast will really start to enjoy that site as we move into 2020.
Well, Stephen, you definitely make sure they get a hold of Lisa and Tom, because I am constantly looking for aviation experts to turn to whenever we have an aviation issue.
Oh, you bet.
So they'd be very helpful, okay?
Be happy to do it. Thanks. Thank you again.
Dr. Stephen Cates. So, the Super Bowl. Most watched in the history of all Super Bowls, 111.5 million viewers, 1-1-1 again. And what about the outcome, of course? A lot of people from Seattle knew that the Seahawks would win. Of course, a lot of folks from Denver thought the Broncos would win. They got just smashed. But there is one person out there who predicted that Seattle would win and win in a big way, none other than the numbers lady, Glynis McCants. I should have taken you to Vegas, Glynis.
Yes, I guess you should have, because I did call this one, and I was actually blessed to be on a show in Seattle, Washington, so of course they were wanting to know who was going to win, and I do have a formula where I look at, first of all, the day energy, like when it actually happened, February 2nd, 2014. Well, that day in numerology was perfect for Russell Wilson, but a complete challenge day for Peyton Manning, so that was my first concern. For him. And then I looked at the personal year cycle, because that says something. Russell Wilson was in a master number 11 cycle, which is like his time, Plus, his destiny number, George, was 7, and we're in the world number 7. So all of that was lining up for him.
You knew.
And when I looked at the players, I noticed that Russell Wilson's players, they were all in cycles that were in unison, whereas Peyton Manning's players were not in alignment. And you know what? That's exactly what the game looked like, didn't it?
Absolutely. And let me ask you this. On a very sad issue, you ran the numbers on someone that I thought was just a superb actor,
yes.
Philip Seymour Hoffman, who was found dead in his New York apartment.
Yes.
A number of needles, heroin,
yes.
Empty bags. I mean, just horrible. But you ran numbers on him. And what did you find?
Yeah, I did. Because when a tragedy like that happens, I always want to look to see if there's a pattern of anyone else. And sure enough, his actual birth date numbers were the same as Amy Winehouse. And the reason that's interesting, they were both born on a 5-day. They're both an 8 life path. The difference is Philip had quit the drugs. You know, he was sober for 23 years, George. And he said, look, he knew that if he ever went back, he loved the drug. He's like, I'm not the kind of guy who has a drink to get buzzed. I like to get drunk. So he knew he was in trouble. He checked himself in rehab back in May to try to fight this demon, and it got him.
It got him. Track down Glynis, numberslady.com. Thanks, Glynis. Up next, parallel universes. Can you imagine other universes? I mean, it's hard enough to imagine just this one. But what about parallel universes? We're going to check in with Pam Ostley in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast for the rest of the hour. I'll be talking with Pam Ostley, of course, author, consultant, lecturer, professional psychic. One of her books, Infinite You, A Journey to Your Greater Self and Beyond. We're going to talk with her about parallel universes. And, you know, Pam, a few years ago, people would have said, huh? Parallel universes? What are you talking about? Now, mainstream science is slowly coming around to understand that. Where do you come in with this?
Well, I love that you asked that because, first of all, there's so much evidence. Mainstream science is actually accepting that they're real. My goal is to find out if they're real, how do we use them? How do we use them to better our lives, to create a better life for ourselves? And I use it all the time, and it's possible to use them to change your realities.
What's your take on parallel universes? Give me Pam Ostley's definition.
The way I describe them is they're right as close to you. You know, there's parallel universes as close to you as your breath. And I like to use the analogy of like radio waves, right? If you're listening to a certain station, say 99.9, and you change the dial to 101.7, you've tuned into, now you're going to pick up the show, the information that's coming from that station. But the radio waves for 99.9 are around you the whole time. You're just not tuning into them. They're not. You're not at that frequency, so they don't become part of your reality, and yet they're around you all the time anyway. And so what science is saying is that this is how it works. Let's say you're walking down the street, and you look inside a store, and you go, oh, I'd really like to go in there and buy a new shirt. I don't have time. I have to get to a meeting. And you keep going. Well, what science is saying is there's an actual you, an actual, I know it sounds like Star Trek, like science fiction, but a lot of things that were science fiction are now science fact. So there's an actual you that goes into that store, buys the shirt, and is having a completely separate life from the you that kept walking down the street to go to a meeting.
And if there happens to be 1,000 parallel universes, does that mean there could be 1,000 yous?
Yeah, actually, George, an infinite number of you. We think we're three-dimensional beings, and we're actually multidimensional beings. That's what's so exciting about what quantum physics is talking about now. It's mind-blowing if we could really get what quantum physics is saying, but of course, most people just kind of glaze over. There are an infinite number of you running around in an infinite number of parallel universes. We just think there's only one because we've been trained to think there's only one, but we go in and out of them all the time. We're only just focusing on one, so we think there's only one.
When we talk about the Big Bang, a theory I still have a very difficult time trying to comprehend, Are these parallel universes all physical or are some of them dimensional? What might they be?
Well, God, that's a great question. You know what? Well, first of all, a lot of physicists now are saying that there's multiple Big Bangs. There wasn't just one bang, that the universes are banging all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded bad, didn't it? anyway, so What they're saying is there's new universes being created all the time. Now, some physicists believe that that's parallel universes, that new universes are being formed all the time. There's also the theory that these universes already exist, that every thought that you have, every choice that you ever made, you split off into another dimension, which is where people who have crossed over are, or people in other frequencies, other realms, whether, you know, and it's all energy anyway. So when you go, well, is it physical? It's as physical as anything. If you look at quantum physics and they're saying it's all energy, there's really nothing physical about us. So they're just in different realms, different frequencies.
Can people somehow stumble into these other parallel universes?
Yes, we do it all the time. That's what I mean, that every time you make a choice, one of you splits off to that one, and one of you splits off to the one that you didn't. So, like, for example, George, in one universe, you're probably married to somebody that you met in high school. In another one, you're not even doing radio. You're doing a completely different, you're being an actor, or you're living in another country. So the cool thing is we can connect with those parallel universes. For every choice that you made, that split off and went into another universe. We can connect with those other selves. We're probably experiencing them through deja vu or having a sense or having a dream that something happened. According to physics, quantum physics, all of those are actually happening simultaneously. Same thing as other lives, or what we sometimes call past lives. They're all happening simultaneously, but there are other parallel universes.
Do we die physically in these other universes?
Sure, we can, just as much as we can in this lifetime. I don't know if you know much about David Deutsch. You probably do.
He's
really big on parallel universes. I got to spend hours with him one-on-one when I was in England. And he was talking about, he said, you know, even if you die in one parallel universe, you're still alive in a lot of others. And, boy, I tell you, I brought my cat back to life once doing that. He disappeared for 3 days. And I went, nope, I'm not ready to let go of my cat yet. I'm going to go into another universe where my cat is still alive, and doggone it if he didn't show up. He was all bleeding and cut and pleading and cut and everything, but he showed back up. I went into a universe where my cat was still alive.
Well, wait a minute. How'd you go into that universe?
I focused on it. I believed in it. I've learned how to consciously shift into parallel universes, and I have dramatic examples of how that's worked. That's why I wrote about it in Infinite You. So what I did was I went, all right, right now I'm currently in a universe where my cat is no longer here, because my cat did not disappear for 3 days. He never did that. So I focused on the one where I knew he was still alive. I breathed into it. I surrounded it, myself with it. I imagined myself in that other universe. It became so real for me. I knew it was a total reality, and that's the one I ended up being. You know, we've got movies on that. We've got Back to the Future, Sliding Doors, even It's a Wonderful Life. Those are all about parallel universes.
Is it possible that in the dream state, that the dream state is also a parallel universe?
Yes. That's another form of our consciousness. Yeah, it can be looked at there. It's another state of consciousness. It's a parallel universe. Absolutely. Now, of course, you know, you and I are talking about something here that most people, just what you said, are going, what? What are you talking about? But this is not just woo-woo. This is not some person that's ungrounded, imagining, or delusional. This is actually quantum physics.
Well, it is quantum physics at its best.
Yep. And we're not using it. You know what blows me away, George? We are really amazing beings. We have all these abilities that thousands of us on the planet are actually utilizing: telepathy, psychic abilities, seeing auras, talking to people on the other side, which are in parallel universes, seeing other lives. There are thousands of us. You're seeing how many people are showing up with these abilities. If we have these abilities, that means everyone is capable of having these same abilities. Now, some people are going to be better than others, just like some people are better athletes and better artists and better musicians, singers, whatever. But it doesn't mean all of us can't learn to play a piano. It's just that some are better at it. There's so many of us using these abilities. And it creates more freedom, more joy, more empowerment, more compassion. This is how we change the world. This is how we change life. This is how we change poverty and starvation. It's like knowing that these other realities actually exist and focusing on those instead of the ones where there's all these problems and dramas.
Let's come back and talk about other parallel universes. We'll get into deja vu, too, with Pam Ostley right here on Coast to Coast AM. Her website's always linked up at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Pam Ostley with us, author, Infinite You, also Life Colors. We'll talk a little bit about auras in a moment. We'll take your calls as well. Deja vu. You know, you've got that, you're talking to somebody, you're thinking of something, and you know exactly what's going to happen next, or you're saying, oh, I know what that person's going to say. You've been there before. Is that a crossover in a parallel universe, Pam?
Well, that's what I think, George. I think that we connect with a parallel universe. And it's like, whoa, and it intersects. It's when we connect with them.
Well, there's no question about that. Now, how does that leak over?
You know what? I think it's where we intersect. It's like one you made a decision to go on the left path and another you decided to take the right path, the right fork. And then somewhere in the future or somewhere up the road, you guys kind of intersect. You both started making the same decision and you connect with each other. I mean, what else could it be? You know, I mean, it's like we're either incredibly psychic, which we are, or we're, you know, like they said, quantum physics is proving. They have evidence that we have parallel universes. So doesn't it make sense to you that we're connecting with them on that level? That's why it's such an eerie feeling, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is.
Wow, I know I've experienced that before. It's like the Matrix, right?
So if we have all these universes and all these other us were there,
yes.
What about the souls?
What about the soul?
Yeah.
Oh, see, the
do
way
we have
I...
just one and the others don't? Or
no,
do they all have?
No, we have what's called an oversoul. It's a huge, infinite aspect of who we are. And the way I've experienced it is that our souls have split off to have lots of different experiences. There's no way our soul could experience everything it wants to in one little lifetime and then the next little lifetime. It's too infinite. It's too grand for that. So it splits off and has, it's like an octopus with lots of different tentacles. It's having multi-dimensional experiences simultaneously to get the fullness of its infinite self.
Take a few calls here while we chat. Jeff in Culver City, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hi, George and Mrs. Pam Ostley. Yes, the idea of parallel universes and multiple dimensions is fascinating. Some scientists and parapsychologists claim that there are as many as 12 separate dimensions, and each person is interacting with all 12 of these dimensions at the same time. For example, I might be in Dimension 1 riding a bike, Dimension 2 dancing with my wife, Dimension 3 on an island in the South Pacific, and, of course, now in this dimension, talking on the phone to you guys. My question is this, Mrs. Ostley. Given that I'm possibly operating in all 12 dimensions simultaneously, could it be possible theoretically through dreams for me to access, say, very important information from one of these dimensions and use it in my present dimensional state?
Absolutely. Great question. We're doing it all the time. That's why we don't have our linear brains thinking that there's only one reality and we have to stay focused on that. We go into parallel universes all the time to solve it, to get information from other, and according to some of the physicists, there's an infinite number of you, not just 12 dimensions. They figure out certain dimensions. They use more dimensions than that to send a rocket to the moon. There's infinite dimensions. So we have access to other selves, of our other selves that can give us answers, can give us insights, because it's already we've already figured it out in other parallel universes. So yes, they can show up in dreams. They can show up in hunches, in intuition, in deja vus. We can access any of those at any time.
You wrote a book called Life Colors, which talked about people's auras. We all have auras. But explain a little bit more, Pam, on what an aura is.
Well, it's an energy field, George. Again, E equals MC squared. I mean, supposedly everything's made of energy, right? Well, we radiate out energy. And in my experience, the different colors or the different frequencies that radiate out from you, we're broadcasting who we are all the time. So the colors around you reveal a lot about your life purpose, the theme you've chosen for this lifetime, your personality, careers that are going to be the most fulfilling, because you're a violet yellow. Violets love the media. They need to reach the masses. Yellows have a sense of humor. So each of the different colors have a personality type to us and potential health issues that go along with it. It helps us validate who we are instead of, you know, how many people are out there in unfulfilling careers, unfulfilling relationships. They can't figure out what they're doing. Well, the aura colors can help a person identify themselves, live their true colors, Sorry for that pun, but I think that's where it comes from. And also, get along with other people. It helps us understand each other so we can allow people to live their true colors instead of going, how come you can't be more like me? You need to think more like me. They're probably a different aura color personality.
Do the aura colors change?
Well, in my experience, now again, I would never tell someone they can't do anything. In my experience, the one or two bands of colors closest to a person's body, those are typically the colors that don't change through a lifetime. The outer bands in the aura change all the time according to what's going on with the person at the time. Now, I've run into people that see the aura differently. They experience it differently, and that's fine. We all taste food differently, too. You know, there's certain people that like asparagus, and I know they're not tasting what I'm tasting. So it's the same thing with the aura. So that's how I see it. The outer bands change all the time, but typically your life colors don't change. It fits in with your astrology, your numerology, your iridology. It's like it's the plan that you decided on when you came here.
Pam, if somebody's very sick or about to die,
Yeah. Do
they have an aura? Does it have a color?
If somebody's really sick, their aura can get very faded. I have seen people that they don't have any auras anymore, and their aura, they
Yikes.
Don't have an aura anymore. I actually went skydiving with a group of people, and they found out I could see auras. And that if they didn't have an aura, they were about to die. So every single one of them before they jumped out of the plane went, wait, do I have an aura? Do I have an aura? But no.
Well, if you had said to them, you don't have an aura, I wouldn't jump.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And, you know, there's biophysicists that are studying this. And they said, well, it's really obvious. When somebody's dead, there's no life energy radiating from them. Kind of obvious.
Let's go to Maureen in Eureka, California. Hi, Maureen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Hey, Pam, lately I've been having a lot of deja vus in the last month, like just one after another. And for me, it means I'm on the right path. But it just seems like there's a lot more deja vus, you know, that I'm just recognizing and noticing. And my birthday's at the end of the month. And I don't know if any of this means anything, but I'm wondering if you have any insight on that.
Well, I can tell you this. I have the same feeling, so I'm glad you said that. When I start having a lot of deja vus, in my estimation, it's your other self, your higher self, another one guiding you and saying, yes, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. It's a feel good. So I feel like you're getting advice or guidance from another aspect of you. And in all honesty, you're so cute when I tune into you. I do feel like you're on a really good track. I don't feel like you've got everything figured out yet. Like you still feel like there's still something in the future that you haven't accessed yet. And I agree with you. So I like that you're trusting those deja vus, though. That does mean that you're on the right track.
Does it mean anything, Pam, if the deja vu experiences are simply gone? We don't have them anymore.
My sense is probably it just means we're not paying attention. We're kind of preoccupied with one reality, or we're just not listening to another guidance, or we're in information overload. I think sometimes deja vu, it's not like we always have to have them, but doesn't it feel good when you have them? Don't you get a feeling that something positive is happening when it's happening?
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. I wouldn't say it's a great feeling. It's just strange.
Yeah.
To be able to sit, you know, while life is happening all around you, for you to be able to say, this person is going to say this
Yeah.
in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then in 2 minutes, they say that.
Yeah. Well, but doesn't it bring up the thought that we must be more, that there's more to reality than we've been taught, that there's something more profound going on?
Oh, no question.
Yeah. We just need to pay more attention to it, and it happens more often.
We go next to our first-time caller, Robert, in Harrisburg, Arkansas. Thanks for calling, Robert. Go ahead.
Yeah, George, who's the lady I just kind of got into the listening?
Her name's Pam Ostley.
Pam?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Pam, I have it. I mean, I can't really, I diverse from you some. I mean, I can't really believe that. I'm too much of a concrete thinker to think that, like, there's 11 other me's and 12 dimensions. I can maybe believe in a parallel universe, but where maybe President Kennedy didn't get assassinated and so on mm-hmm. and so forth. But
okay.
I've had the thought since I was little that when I really realized how vast the universe was, that I felt maybe when a person died on Earth, that there was another solar system and another galaxy in the billions and billions of galaxies that's in the universe. And that's where your soul went to, maybe a similar place to Earth, maybe not, but that you maybe would get a chance to try to better yourself in, on that plane.
Well, that's cool. So some sense of you, even when you were young, had a feeling like what we're seeing in front of us is not all there is to reality or all there is to life. So that's a cool version. And I totally understand how it's challenging for people to believe that there's, you know, more than one parallel universe. But the cool thing is, it's Robert Wright, that's what physics is saying now. That's what's so mind-blowing is quantum physics has evidence that there are parallel universes. But most people don't realize that. They've never heard of it. They don't know how to use it because we've been so trained to believe that there's only one. Now, the cool thing is you had a sense that there was something more, and that's the beginning of expanding consciousness.
Well, a lot of people also, Pam, have a difficulty trying to comprehend just how this universe happened.
I know.
Let's take the religious concepts out of it, totally. Right. I mean, if you roll that out, then you really are baffled by how things, you know, started. And then to think about other ones.
Yeah.
Makes it even more difficult, doesn't it?
Well, you know what? Just what you said, George, a lot of people are having enough trouble in one universe. But what I find cool about really realizing what quantum physics is saying about parallel universes, oh my gosh, the freedom that comes with that. And then that makes more sense about free will. Like, we can't have free will if there's only one universe and somebody doesn't cooperate with us. It's like, I really want to be with that person, but they don't want to be with me. Well, where's my free will in that? But if we know there's an infinite number of choices out there, then right there it validates free will. So it's just we have to expand our thinking. I mean, my gosh, they didn't believe it was possible to fly. They didn't believe it was possible to go to the moon. And now we're talking about space travel to Mars and every place. It's just our consciousness is always expanding and evolving. Doesn't it make sense that there's a lot of stuff we don't know about yet?
There's too much that we don't know about. Let's go to Mike east of the Rockies, truck driving, keeping America moving. Mike, I thank you for that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
My question is, years ago, this show on sci-fi called Sliders.
Yes.
Is that something like you're talking about?
Yep, that's it. Sliders and anything going. There were all kinds of TV shows about parallel universes. And you know what I find cool? And George, I'm sure you recognize this too. A lot of our greatest seers, the futurists, the people that know what's going on, are the violets that write for TV and movies. They take physics, they expand it into concepts. And like I said, a lot of what used to be termed science fiction is now science fact. So yeah, Sliders, God, there were all kinds of shows. The Quantum Leap. Quantum Leap was talking about going into parallel universes.
Yeah, some people think that if you go through a wormhole, you might go into another universe, that they're connected that way.
Yep, that's another form of what they're talking about. That's physics, too. Of course, then there's the skeptics that go, wait, if you go into a wormhole, you're going to get crushed because of gravity. And then other people are going, wait a second. I mean, my gosh, you start getting into the event horizon and Stephen Hawking and Susskind and all those people arguing about, you know, what happens when you go into a wormhole. But why not? What I understand is there's not just black holes out there. There are white holes. There are pink holes, there are blue holes, there's a whole lot we haven't discovered yet that I know is coming. And it feels like it's happening really quickly sometimes, doesn't it, George?
It sure does. Now, Ron is truck driving in Nebraska. Hey, Ron, go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question for Pam. It's about an experience I had one in my dream. Last year, I fell asleep, and I had a dream where I was talking to two different beings at nighttime, and they gave me a book to read, and I read the book, but there was more than I couldn't understand. I couldn't read. They were just totally alien. And the rest of the passages sounded like revelations out of the Bible, and that's why I told the beings that, you know, I read some of this revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the beings said, this is not revelation. This is not the Bible. This comes to pass, and you must be prepared. Well, when I woke up, I knew the way I had to drive. I was headed towards Salt Lake, but everything seemed backwards to me. I mean, it lasted for a couple of hours, and I just wanted to, it just felt like I was someplace else. I was should have been on the other side of the road. I knew I was driving west. The sun should have been coming up in the west. to the geese, everything. And I just wanted to get her opinion on that.
All right, go ahead.
Well, you know what? Doesn't that sound like you shifted into a more radical parallel universe? Some of the universes that we can go into are so subtle, we don't even notice that there's a shift because there's only slight things. It feels like you shifted into a radically different parallel universe. I'm sure all of us have had that experience where we're driving on the road and all of a sudden we've been there a million times and all of a sudden we don't recognize where we are. You just shifted
into missing time.
Yes. Yes, you shifted into another state of consciousness, a parallel universe, and it sounds to me that that's what happened to that caller. You shifted into a radically different one.
What creates the shift?
Well, you know what? It's all consciousness. It's a shift in consciousness, and it's a frequency. It's the same type of stuff. That's why I like using the analogy of radio shows. There's radio waves around you, and you change your frequency, you change your focus, and bottom line, it's shifting consciousness. It's changing your thoughts, your beliefs, and your emotions. That's what has frequency to them. So that's what usually changes the parallel universe that we end up in, the one you believe in, the one you're focused on, the one you have emotions of. That's what shifts you into different universes.
One or two more calls left for you, Pam. Eric is in Eldora, Iowa. Hey, Eric, thanks.
Hey, George, it's great to talk to you.
Likewise.
For Pam, I've had three specific dreams in my life that have like come to fruition. First one was about 1998. I dreamt that I was standing on the deck of a ship. The mountain in the background, the snow was white, the sky was blue, the water was beautiful blue-green. It was so real. I could smell the salt in the air, and I could hear the chain going down in the chain locker. And about 2002, I found myself on the deck of a boat with that same mountain and that on that same dock. And I was talking about the same thing to the people that were around me. And I stopped and I went, guys, I've been here before. I told them about it. And they were like, ah, that's not true. You, whatever, you know. And then, but I worked for a major oil company on an oil tanker at that time. And then I had another dream that I was in the military. And I was driving on the side of a mountain. And I could hear the growl and I could smell the dust and the sweat was running down my back, and a particular song came on to our iPod that we had hooked up to our truck system. George knows military people make anything comfortable.
That's right.
So, and in 2010, I was in Afghanistan, and that same song came on. And I turned around, and I looked at my driver, and I said, I have talked to you about this song before, because he was way younger than me.
These are, and we're almost out of time here, Eric and Pam. It's either a classic deja vu or he's been in another parallel universe.
Right. Well, according to David Deutsch, all these are happening simultaneously anyway. He says that your past self, your present self, and your future self are all you, but they're not the same you that's sitting here today.
That's a good question. Pam's website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, the ancient giants who ruled America.